I want to kind of give you a recap, first of all. Summer is always probably not the most convenient time to preach on a series of messages, but sometime back in the late spring, we began some messages on the character that Jesus Christ would like you and I to have in our lives. And they are taught very clearly in what was called the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, verse 1 through verse 12. As we follow the Beatitudes in our life, and as we give ourselves in consecration to the Lord Jesus Christ, then what happens is there's a character that is formed consciously or unconsciously in our heart, and that becomes an influence in the world. And it's Jesus, of course, who lives in us, and he begins to influence others we come into contact with. And last Sunday, we saw that that influence was on the world as we move forth with the character of Christ, that is humility and showing mercy to others and being pure in our lives and being a peacemaker. It produces a character that has an effect on the world, as salt has an effect on a piece of meat that's decaying. And as salt preserves and also seasons, salt's very unique in its properties, because you can just take an old egg, as I did last night, and just sprinkle some salt on it. It makes all the difference in the world. And so our character is to be salt to a dying world. And today we're going to see that our character is further than that. Our influence is that of light, where Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," to his disciples. Can you imagine that first time Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world"? You're the light of the world? Peasants, no money, no position. And he said, "You're the light of the world." Not just Judaism, but the whole world. Wow. You are the light of the world. They'd say, "Well, Jesus, I think you're the light of the world, but not us." No, he said, "You're the light of the world." So we want to look at that today, the influence of light that we have. And what we're going to do, we're going to look at some scripture, and I'm going to ask that you remain seated, and if you're able to read that responsibly, we're going to just ask that you kind of moved up there, and I will read the light print, and you read the Word of God in the dark print. Normally we don't do this, we read just in the Bible, but these are compilation, different verses from different parts of the Bible. The Bible tells us the world is darkened in understanding and separated from God's life because of the ignorance and hardening of heart. God. The God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Peter writes, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." To be light and salt in the world, you need to live as children of light. Your walk is to match up your talk. Your week is to show the world that when you came together on Sunday, you meant business with God, and you're letting God change you and get rid of those sounds in your life that are ungodly. Hey, whatever's going on there, you can hear me, can't you? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are blessed. Blessed beyond description to know the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the Father of lights. You never change. You sent to us Christ, the light of the world. He never changes. And you came to us, Lord, presented to us the gospel to shine in our hearts. We believed. We became children of light. Wow. What a title that is, Lord. And yet, it's not because of us. It's your grace. It's your plan. It's your purpose. It's your will. It's your love. Give us that same love and grace going into the world with the cross of Christ behind our back, Lord, to tell the world that you are light. I ask, Lord, you bless the proceedings this morning from the Word of God. We read the unfolding of the Word of God gives light. Would you do that today to each of us who are gathered as we open our hearts to you? Shape us, Father, into the people you want us to be. And don't stop until we are. We know that's going to involve pain. It could involve a lot of things. But we realize, Lord, we have this life to live. And we will soon be standing before you. We want to have said, we did our best. So keep our eyes on the Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you have your Bible, I'm going to be referring in Matthew 5. We're going through a verse-by-verse study of the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached, Jesus Christ preaching, of course, known as the Sermon on the Mount. We're doing it in an expository way, verse-by-verse, and we're trying to take the verse and let it speak for itself. It's a form of exegesis, meaning the Word of God, the message comes out of the Word. They get the word expository. Adrian Moscow, sitting over there, was telling me of a pastor this week, and the pastor explained to his congregation the value of expository preaching. The value is, of course, the pastor can't pick and choose which texts he likes. He has to grow himself in making sure he covers every verse. So Robin found himself growing a bit when he had to preach on persecution a couple weeks ago. He says, you always give me the hard tasks. Well, I don't do that. God does that. But Robin did a great job, and we've got some real hard ones coming up. I might be away for those too, Robin. But anyhow, Adrian talked to us about a pastor that was explaining to his people how he does expository preaching. And one woman who had gone to a church where they're just topical preaching, she came back and she liked that verse-by-verse stuff. And she said, but she didn't quite remember what the name was. And she said, Pastor, I just really love that suppository preaching that you give. That's what Adrian said. It was one of our pastors, so I take it right from Adrian's mouth there. Light in a dark world. When Jesus said, you are the light of the world, he's saying this world is dark. It's a dark place. That is, it doesn't have the knowledge to tell us of the true light. It has a lot of technological knowledge. It has a lot of scientific knowledge. But it doesn't have the right knowledge. And so Timothy, 1 Tim 3:7 or 2 Tim 3:7 says, they are ever learning, but they're never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Ephesians 4:18 says, having their understanding darkened because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. In Matthew 4:16, it says, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. You might want to flip in your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Keep your finger in Matthew 5. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 and 4. You notice it says there that 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Paul says, if our gospel is hidden, if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God. So that verse tells us something of the darkness of the world, that their eyes are blinded. And if someone's in the dark, no matter what they're doing in the dark, They cannot do what they should do in the dark because they can't see. And you understand the great metaphor that Jesus is using, that light pierces the darkness. And he says, you're the light of the world. Go back to John chapter 3, verse 19. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's big John. It's in the New Testament. John chapter 3. I want you to follow. I want you to be thinking through the sermon about the character of Christ he wants us to give. The character of Christ. Second, in John chapter 3 and verse 16, that great verse that God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever will believe on him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now that thematic is there, that whoever believes, the light of God comes to them. But those who don't believe, darkness still grasps them. And look at John 3:17, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but he said, the Son of God has not come to condemn the world, but that to save the world through him. Whoever believes on him is not condemned. You believe on Jesus as your Savior and Lord for all your sins, you're not condemned. But if you don't believe, you're condemned already, the scripture tells us. But if you go down to verse 19, it says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. That's Christ. But men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. I remember the life group dinner that Sandy and I were at. And we had three regular families of the church. And we had invited a family who had sort of come to church, but they didn't believe in Jesus Christ and all that sort of stuff. But they were to come to the dinner. So we phoned them up at 6 o'clock and just said, hey, guys, are you coming? And she said, well, just one sec. She says, I just want to confirm with my husband. And she left the phone off the hook. And you could hear the voices. She says, sweetie, do you want to go to a boring church dinner? Or do you want to go down and do some dancing? He said, let's go swinging, babe. She said, we just really can't make it tonight. You see, they don't come to the light because their deeds are evil. They can't see the light because their deeds are evil. So light brings a message to them, but light tells them why they're in darkness. And they're in darkness because of their sin of rejecting Jesus Christ in their lives. Never the sin of lying, or never just the sin of anger. Never just those sins, but the sin that will condemn you forever and ever and ever and ever. When you stand before God, you will be condemned forever if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Now, Jesus in John 8:12, you got your Bibles? You're in John. Flip over to John 8:12. In John 8 and verse 12, we have one of the great I ams. Now, it's very interesting how the Holy Spirit has placed these verses in Scripture. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And I'm going to give you in good language, the King James. I am the light of the world. Whoever will follow after me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, get this. He said that after he received and did not condemn a woman taken in adultery. In the very act of adultery, in the very sexual act, the Jews had caught her, as it were, and they brought her to Jesus, and they wanted to stone her. But Jesus, you remember I showed you in John 3, didn't come to condemn. And he forgave the woman. And he said, whoever is without sin, let him cast the first stone. They didn't have stones, they had rocks that were going to kill her. They would sort of put her down there and they just stone her to death. And it says that whoever thought sin cast the first stone. They didn't cast the stone, they went out one by one, beginning from the oldest. Anyhow, Jesus said, has no man condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I am the light of the world. Whoever will follow after me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. and that girl's life was saved by grace. But it's interesting in John 8, now the whole background of John is interesting because John 7 is talking about the big feast and the great celebrations the Jews were doing. You see, when Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, it followed the celebration of the great illumination of the temple. This ceremony took place at night. And the walls of the temple, well, first of all, the temple, Jerusalem's on a hill, and the temple was there on top of the hill. And it's nighttime. You kind of get this picture? It's nighttime. And they want to light up the whole city of Jerusalem. They don't have electricity. So on top of the hill, they have this, high as the temple wall, on the top of it are four incredibly huge candelabras. And there's huge pots and bowls of oil. And so the priests, the young priests, somebody like maybe Robin, you know, or not me, they climb up. And from a distance, they'd light those incredibly huge bowls of light. And they would burst out and blaze out in flame. And the whole city could see them. At the same time, in the streets of Jerusalem, countless people would each have a torch, and they would light it. And then they'd go through the city of Jerusalem at nighttime, singing praises and worship to the great I Am, Yahweh God, with their cymbals, their harps, their lyres, their trumpets. What a sound it was. What a light it was. And when they lit up all those torches and they lit up the whole city, that's why Jesus said, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. But you see, what they were celebrating was the great exodus from Egypt when God rescued them from slavery. And he said, I'll be the pillar of fire by night. I'll be the cloud by day. I will guide you. I will protect you. And Jesus then the next morning said, I am. You see, Moses said to the Israelites, or the Egyptians, they said, who sent you? He said, I am has sent me. God told him to say that. Now Jesus says, I am. You see, I was the great I am. I was that pillar of fire that followed you. That was me, because I am the light of the world. That's the background. You need that for your thinking. Now Jesus comes and he says, you are the light of the world. He's saying the world is in darkness. But now he's saying that I, Randy Evans, a child of darkness, a child of the devil, one who worshiped the God of this world. And if you don't know who that is, that Randy's me. If you're new here. You see, but now I'm a child of light. In James 1:17, he's called the Father of lights. He sent the light of the world in, and he lights me. And I become, as Luke calls me, a child of light. But the neat verse is Ephesians 5 and verse 8. You are light in the Lord. You were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. See, I'm light in the Lord, meaning it's not my light. It's his light that is to shine in me. Do you get that? It's reflected light. Light in the Lord. James Barnhouse, the master of illustration, he writes this. To explain to us what reflected light is. He says, when Jesus was in the world, he was like the shining sun that is here in the day and gone at night. But when the sun sets, the moon comes out. And the moon, the church is the moon. And the moon shines, but not with its own light, but with the light of the sun who is shining on the moon. It shines with reflected light. Jesus in this world said, I am the light of the world. And we are mere reflectors of that light. So I'm called to reflect Christ-like character in the world. I'm called to be Christ-like in the world. You see, he was the great man of peace. He said, My peace I leave unto you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. So I become then a peacemaker because I've received the peace of Christ in my heart. I become the fruit of... Well, why don't you go to Ephesians 5 and verse 8? Let's take a quick read on that one. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Ephesians, of course, one of those teaching epistles, didactical. They're really great. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. It says, you were once, Ephesians 5, 8, you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Okay. It's reflected light. We'll hold it right there. Reflected light. We're going to come back to verse 9 in a few minutes. It's reflected light. Now, it's interesting when Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you are the light of the world. He was talking individually, but the Greek word there is plural. So it's like he's saying, you are the light of the world. You are the light of Campbell River. You're the light of the world, too. You are. It's a plurality. It's all of the disciples together. It wasn't like just John or Peter who would be the great preacher, because Thomas couldn't preach like Peter and all that. But he says, you're the light of the world. It's your character. All of you touch the world. You are the light of the world. And it's telling us, friends, we got to do things together. We got to do things together. We got to get the kids ministry, the youth ministry, the adult ministry, get them all together, and we got to have that unity. We've got to be the light of the world. We can do great things together. Donne said, no man is an island to himself. You don't just study the Bible by yourself, as it were. You come together and you worship on a Sunday morning, and you then move forth into the dark world of light as light bearers of Christ. John MacArthur uses a great illustration of the Kansas cornfield fire. He speaks of, not a fire, but in years ago, he read in the paper, and he's talking here about unity, and the sad story is that all of a sudden there's a four-year-old missing in the Kansas cornfields. The mother is distraught. The father is distraught. And they frantically run through the cornfields looking for the little four-year-old. And they don't find him that day. They go out in the morning and they look. And finally someone says, all the town came out to help as well. Finally, and some of you read this in the paper, he quoted the date of that and the newspaper article. Finally someone said, let's join hands together. And let's cover every part. We can find him. They did find him, but the little boy was dead from exposure. And the caption in the journal that night said, if only, if only, if only we had done it sooner. If only we had done it sooner. If only we'd be together rather than apart. Unity. Unity, it's powerful. Let's get together. Now Jesus moves, so your finger is in Ephesians 5 and 8. Your other finger is in Matthew. How many fingers you got there? Okay. Matthew chapter 5, let's get back to that great Sermon on the Mount. I challenge some of you here to memorize the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, 7, great. Good for you, got a good memory? Memorize it. But Matthew 5 and 14, he says, you are the light of the world. Okay. Now he's going to give two illustrations. Two illustrations. And the first illustration is in Matthew 5:14. He says, a city that is on a hill cannot be hidden. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. When you come to a city that's on a hill, you can see the lights for miles and miles and miles. Big cities, you can see them for 50, 60, 70 miles. But if you come to a city that's in a valley, I came from a city that's in a valley. And when you come out down from Prince George to Quesnel, or Williams Lake Quesnel, you don't see the lights much because the city's in a valley. So, but a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So in other words, Jesus is saying light is meant to be seen, and we as
believers are to be camped on the hill of light, camped with Jesus. You know, there's a neat verse in Psalms 18, verse 28. David says, keep my lamp burning. Keep my lamp burning. Remember the song years ago? Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. And when we're on the hill of light, and Jesus is on that hill, and we're to be a city that's set on a hill. Hey, we're kind of on a hill here at Campbell River Baptist Church. It's an illustration. We need to be shining. But the second illustration was a lamp in the household in verse 15. He says here, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. But verse 15 says, neither do men light a lamp, talking about a household lamp, and put it under a bowl in the house and snuff it out. But he says that they put it on a candlestick. They put it on the right place so it gives light unto all that are in the house. I think there's maybe an allusion there to the family as well. Are you a light to your own family? Your family needs to see it. The worst thing Sandy could ever see is that what I preach, I don't live. If you're a preacher, my professor used to say to me, when was the last time you ever took the sermon and had it put in a drawer? You couldn't preach it. Because you couldn't live it. You see, we need to be lights in our home. We need to be lights in our home. So it gives light unto all who are in the house. But that's two metaphors that Jesus, two pictures Jesus gives that we need to have our light. Like a city on a hill and in like a lamp that's held up so everybody can see. Hold up your Christianity in the bank. Hold up your Christianity in the office or the mill or wherever you work. Let people know that you love Jesus. They need to know that. You're the light of the world. You're the only hope that the message could ever be given. Those people you rub shoulders with. Okay. How are we to shine? That's the question. Well, look at verse 16. How are we to shine? Matthew 5:16. It says here in the NIV that in the same way, let your light shine before men, just like on a hill with a lamp. The same way, let your light shine, that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. Okay. We shine by good works. Good works. There's a couple Greek words for good. One is agathos, meaning good in quality. But the word used here is kalos, which means good that is beautiful. Attractive works, beautiful things that you can do for others, like Jesus did to that woman taken in adultery. Rather than condemning her, he extended grace to her. But we're to have beautiful things in the world. John Stott says the good works are an expression of compassion, an expression of humility, expression of the Beatitudes to all the people and all that we say and all that we do. Now you are in Ephesians 5 and verse 9. Let's look what kind of good works these would be. Ephesians 5 and verse 9. Ephesians 5 and verse 9, verse 8 says, you're light in the Lord. Now it says, walk as children of light. How do we walk as children of light? Well, we walk as children of light by showing that we have the fruit of life in us. That's like the fruit of the Spirit, but it's called the fruit of light here. It consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The Christian should always be good, should always be righteous, should always be truthful, always be preaching the truth. Micah said, God, how can man live? And it says, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of us but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Ah, if we do righteousness and justice, and if we love mercy, we love giving mercy to other people, and then walk humbly with our God, that's letting the light shine before a world. And do what pleases God. But it says, don't have anything to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Don't have anything to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. How are you exposing them? You're exposing them as a young lady by telling that man, I'm a virgin, and I'm going to be a virgin till I get married. And you expose darkness. But you don't do what darkness is doing. You walk holy. There's only a couple definitions of God in the Bible. One is, God is love, 1 John. Another, God is spirit. But the other one is, God is light, as Chris read out. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We're to live as children of light. You see, God's calling this church to a holy walk. Are you up for it? You'll either walk in holiness or you'll walk out the door and you'll go to somewhere else so you can hear some more happier things about yourself rather than challenges of your life. But I've got confidence in you that you love Christ and you're going to let your life shine with love. I was on holidays and my son's car broke down. So I went to help him and there was a nice mechanic that we'd hired to help us, and I was giving him a hand, and he was really kind and quietly worked so hard, and all of a sudden I cut myself really bad, and blood was all over the place. I actually had to go back to the hospital later on and get 3-4 stitches in my finger. And he helped me, and when it was all done, after, of course, the unforeseen things happened, you know, he thought he could do it in a half hour. It took about 2 hours, but finally got it done. During the process of him helping me, a man walked by from the shop, another man. And he says, how you doing there, sir? I says, I'm good. And I says, I'm just watching Bill. And I said, that Bill is a good man. He's a good mechanic. He's working hard. And this guy said, hey, Bill, don't let that go to your blankety-blank head. And he said to me, he's just a blankety-blank kind of a guy, you know. And Bill never said anything. So it was all over with, and I went to pay the bill. And before I paid the bill, I said to Bill, isn't that good? I said, Bill, are you a Christian? He said, I am. He says, I was went to some church. He got another gospel church. And he says, I know Jesus. I said, I could see it. I could see it. Your light was shining when things were going wrong. Because, you see, his hour of work had concluded, and it was after work that it was after five he was helping me. And I could see his patience and his love and his kindness, saying, could I get you a bandage for the finger? And he got me a bandage, all that. Anyhow, let your light so shine. You don't know where you're going to be called to shine, but start shining in everything you can say and everything you do. You never know where the light's going to go. I was downtown, and there was a young fella by the Montreal Bank, and we both went to Montreal Bank to get some money. And the machine didn't work. And I knew I could go to Nova Scotia and get some money, too, or my mortgages at one and all that sort of stuff, you know. And he walked out of there with his wife. It was a hot day. And I says, hey, what you up to? Oh, well, he says, it was you. He says, I was going to get some money. I want to take my wife and a kid for ice cream, you know. And I said, that's really noble. That's a good thing to do as a father. And he says, but I can't now. I said, well, I actually got 10 bucks. How would you like 10 bucks? So give him 10 bucks. I don't know where that went. I mean, but where'd it go? I mean, I'm throwing a quarter right now. Here comes a quarter. Where's it going to go? It's going to go. Someone's going to be able to spend it. And Jesus is watching. He's watching the light that you're shining with. And you got to be generous. I went to get my hair cut. I just did a couple days ago. But I got my hair cut a few months ago. And I didn't have any idea this would have a little bit of a light. But I went in and there was a girl or a woman with her 14-year-old son getting his hair trimmed. He had that really long hair. You know, you got to trim hair like military, you know? No. And she went, put him in a chair, and she said, oh, I haven't got any money. And I said, ma'am, I said to Greta, I says, I got no money either, but if you save the next slot for me, I'll go back to the bank, and I'll get some bucks for him and some bucks for me. And I said, ma'am, you put that kid in the chair and get a haircut. So I ran down, got some money, came back and paid them the money. And no, they were already gone, right? But I paid for them. Yeah, long and short is, I had no idea that it would do something for Jesus. I mean, you know, I don't say, I'm Randy, I'm the Reverend Evans from the church, you know, I don't say that, sir. Or I'm a Christian, I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm here to help you, you know. I don't say those things. And long and short, about a couple months later, someone in this church said, hey, my daughter-in-law knows this woman who heard of this old preacher that helped. Anyhow, you see where the light goes? It goes all over the place. It invades, it penetrates, it moves into people's lives. But it's got to go with grace, it's got to go with love, it's got to go with humility, it's got to be merciful, it's got to be pure, it's got to be a peacemaker. And that's the light that Jesus is talking about. Okay? Right? Let's move down. Oh, I was talking about, what was I trying to illustrate? I was trying to tell you that little things help, don't they? Little things help. Holding the door open for someone. Little things help. Hey, all set, ladies? You with me? Sermon's just about over, guys. Look at this saying. Hey, listen to this. Mark Chevron, please. Let's read it. Woman without her man is... No? Any of you bold enough to read that, fellas? Let's have the man read that.
You first.
What was the point I'm trying to illustrate there, Luke? Small things are what? Good, aren't they? So let's put some small things in there. Ladies, could you read that, please? Come on, ladies, read it. Ladies, woman without her, man. You're so shy. So what are we saying? Little things make a difference, don't they? They turn things right around. So you'll do that this week, won't you? When you're standing in the grocery lineup over at Quality Foods, and the woman ahead of her, and you're waiting in your line, you're in a hurry, and she says, I only have $31 and the bill is $36. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to say, could you hurry up, please? What are you going to do? You're going to say, hey, the cashier, I'll take care of that $6. Let her go through. God bless you, woman. I mean, God bless you. Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Now let's get some lessons here. Let's wrap it up. Any lessons up there, Mark? I haven't got my thing. The first life lesson, I think, is the call to function here in this world as light is the same function that Jesus did when he was in this world. Okay? Be like Jesus. I'm a football fan, and Lombardi was the great coach of the Green Bay Packers. And he wrote a little book, and the book was called Run for the Light. Run for the Light. Any of you ever been involved playing football? And some of you are running backs. You get the ball, and you have got to go through. Today, you're going through 320-pounders. And when you run in and they get together, it's like darkness. It's a wall. Lombardi says, you get that ball, and you run for the light. Whenever you see a space, you run for the light and keep running. And when you run for the light, Jesus wants you and I to be running to him. He's the lighter of our life. A friend of mine has these things he puts in the ground at night, and he lights up his driveway. They're solar little things, and he has to get them lit through the daytime, and then he puts them in the ground at night, and they shine all night. You and I need to connect with Jesus Sunday mornings and at life group and in our devotions every day and all that sort of stuff. And we become brighter. And you don't connect with Christ, you don't become brighter, you become dimmer. And so Matthew chapter 6 says, when the light becomes dark, how great is that darkness? So some of you that are light, we'll show you that in Matthew 6 when we get there in about a year. It becomes dark. You're lighted up today. Hey, second lesson. The call to shine is where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Let your light so shine. Philippians 2 says, don't do all things. That's all things without grumblings and complainings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I shine when I don't grumble. Some of you grumble sometime in services. You know, it's getting old. Don't. And don't grumble before the world. Grumble to me, but don't grumble before the world. Okay, and you shine as lights. Acts 16, they take the gospel on. You can look at those verses at home. God said to Paul, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they will find forgiveness of sins. Our job is to point the world to Christ. In Manitoba, where God brought me in contact with that beautiful young Sandy Lee Kennedy, I wanted to make her an Evans. She was a snob. She wouldn't look at me or anything. But finally one day we kind of connived things up and we did get a smile and finally a date and then a kiss. You know how it works. But in Manitoba, on the legislature building, on the top of the Winnipeg legislature building, there's a golden boy. And he is like from here up there higher yet. But he doesn't shine except at night when the lights are turned on him. You and I's job is to shine and let Jesus shine. We can be the light of the world because he is the light of the world. Let's go on here. I don't know if we can finish it. Live in community. Don't live in isolation. We're not meant to be in isolation here at the Baptist Church. We're to be involved in the community, in Campbell River. Get involved. Get on the baseball team. Don't just play with Christians. Get down there and do things with those in the world and be a witness to Christ. Here's a couple things on isolation. We're going to kind of run through them if we can. Isolation, just keep running it through Mark there. Unconnected, you're connected in the family, okay? Don't build fences, build gates so people can come in. And don't be static, but be a growing Christian. Be like Christ. And don't be self-serving, serve others. Hold it. Don't be self-serving, serve others. 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, Paul said, we don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, the deacons, the servants. The deacon means to be in the dust at Jesus' feet. So you heard a lot of messages about unity, community. The last one, of course, is uninvolved, get involved. What talent I'm seeing out there. Right now we've got people that are needed in so many different areas. You know, I don't have a list here. June does. She gave it to me here. But get involved in doing some things here so we can shine as a church. Remember, it's a community thing. There will be a day of auditing. The final exams will come. Your talent, your time, did you give it all to Jesus? Take my life. Let it be fully consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my voice and let me sing. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if those people that sang this morning and Tanya Wicken says, Pastor Randy, I ain't singing anymore. Chris, I ain't singing anymore. Dylan, I ain't playing anymore. Mike, I ain't drumming anymore. I ain't teaching anymore. I ain't deacon anymore. That's no good. Get involved. Get involved this fall and let your light so shine. Is there one more point there? I got too many points here. Oh, let's, one more. Just click one. The Word of God comes out. It shines. And what's it say? Oh, anyhow. It says this. After Jesus washed their feet in John 13, 17, he said, you go and wash the feet of others. And then in 17, he says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Do you want to bring happiness to your life? Do you want to bring blessing to your life? then live out these characteristics and be light to the community. And number two, that's the best thing for the world. And then verse 16 says, do all your good works so they'll glorify the Father who is in heaven. John 15:8, write it down. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Let's pray. Father, wow, you are good. You are excellent. You are great. We've been telling that all morning, Lord. And now we realize again our need of you to light us up so we can be planted in the world of darkness. Give us the love of God. Give us the character of Christ. But help us to realize, Lord, truth is not in the world, and to bring the truth to a world that's perishing. God, we want to sing. We want to ask that you shine in this church, shine in this world as we look to missions in so many ways. Bless these dear people. We want to say together, I want to get involved.